Good morning, and welcome to First Presbyterian Church on Daylight Saving Time Day. Glad to see all y'all here. I'm always interested to see who's going to show up during the last hymn thinking it's the first hymn. We'll find out. Choir practice will be not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday at 6 p.m., and we're not planning to have Bible study this week. Lord willing, I'll be making a trip to Georgia to visit family. So looking forward to that. I would remind everyone to please put their tablets and iPhones and other devices on airplane mode. It does seem to help with the live streaming that we'll do of the scripture and sermon portion of the worship. So let's be called to worship with these words from the 30th Psalm. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Let's worship our Lord as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Oh Lord, some mornings it's just hard to get out of bed from all the aches and pains we have. Sometimes we're just tired. And when we see the problems in the world all around us, it's easy for us to feel overwhelmed. But we thank you that Jesus chose to come into this world, into our world. We thank you that he not only suffered for us, but suffered with us. So we can be sure he understands everything we're going through. So help us to trust in your power and in your love today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. For we come claiming only the sacrifice and the righteousness of Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would take up your hymnals, our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 647. Selection 647 comes from two places in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And the theme is Christ coming again. Selection 647. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you all to respond with the bold. Let's read this portion of God's Word, or I should say these portions of God's Word, responsively. Brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died so that you will not be sad, as are those who have no hope. For this is the Lord's teaching, we tell you. We who are alive on the day the Lord comes will not go ahead of those who have died. Those who have died believing in Christ will be raised to life first. Then we who are living at that time will all be gathered up along with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. There is no need to write to you, brothers, about the times and occasions when these things will happen, For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief comes at night. But you, brothers, are not in the darkness, and the day should not take you by surprise like a thief.
All of you are people who belong to the light, who belong to the area.
God did not choose us to suffer his wrath, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
He died for us in order that we might live together with him, whether we are alive or dead when he comes.
Amen. Christ is coming. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to anticipate. Let's turn in our hymnals to selection 185 as we celebrate Christ's certain return. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 185 and let us stand to sing. We have sung the Lord's praise, the praise of our returning King. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and they are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. And I see it's time for our children to come forward and have a little lesson, and then they'll go for their time of worship and study. All right. Got a crew this morning. Good to see y'all this morning. Somebody's missing. Somebody's missing. Where's your mom and daddy?
They're in Hawaii.
Hawaii? Y'all just went to Hawaii too, didn't you? Wow, that must be the place to go. Yeah, I know your daddy's back there. Okay. Okay, so y'all know a lot about traveling. You know about going somewhere. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think they're coming back?
Yes.
How do you know that? They told you they were coming back. They went a long way away. They told you they were coming back, and you believe them. Why?
Because they're your parents.
Because they love you, and they want to see you, right? So your grandparents are going to come see you from Hawaii, too, someday, aren't they? Yeah, why? You know that's true. Why? Because they told you, right? And because they love you. Well, we have the same truth about Jesus Christ. Jesus went away from us into heaven. But you know what he told us? He said he's coming back. And we can know he's coming back for the same reasons that you know your folks are coming back from Hawaii and your grandparents are going to come see you from Hawaii. And it's because they told us and they love us. And Jesus told us he's coming back and he loves us so much. So let's pray to Jesus and ask him to come see us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your promise that you, even though you've gone away into heaven, that you're going to come back and see us and come back and take us to yourself someday. So thank you, Lord, for your promise. Help us to believe your promise because you love us and because we know that everything you say is always true. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank y'all. Hope y'all have a good day. Good news is we don't have to wait for Jesus to return to be close to him. And so we take up our hymnals and we turn to selection 348. 348, Nearer My God to Thee. We'll sing all five stanzas and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. And that is the good news. We can be in the presence of the Lord wherever we are. Whenever we go to the Lord in prayer, we are in His presence. And we know, because of His death on the cross for all who trust in Him, that we are beloved children of God. And so whenever we go to the Lord in prayer, we know He hears us, we know He loves us, and we know He will always do what is best for us and what will bring Him glory. So with the confidence of children of God, let us draw nearer to Him in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for Your presence. Your presence which we can see all around us. Lord, and as the springtime breaks out once again, we hear the birds and we see the fresh shoots of green. Lord, we know that You are a God of life and love because of the beauty of Your creation. And Lord, as we've seen the wonderful love that You have poured out upon us on the cross, we know that You've gone to such amazing lengths to save us and to bring us back into fellowship with You, regardless of our sin. And so we thank You, O Lord, for Your power. We thank You for Your love. But we have to confess, O Lord, that sometimes it's harder for us to see You than others. Lord, we have to confess that sometimes we even give ourselves over to discouragement or despair when we see how things are going in this world, when we see how things go in the life of our loved ones or even in our own lives. Lord, we sometimes lose faith. But we pray that whether we are faithful or not, You are always faithful. Whether we are loving You as we should or not, You love us so. We thank You, O Lord, that You are a God of unconditional, self-sacrificial love. We thank You, O Lord. And because of that certainty, we thank You that we can come into Your presence and we can pray and we can know that You hear us and that You love us and that You will always do what's best. And so, Lord, we lift up to You today those who are having a hard time trusting in You. Lord, those who are enduring physical suffering, illness, for those who are caregivers for the sick and who are just worn down with work and with worry. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. Father, we pray for those who put themselves in harm's way that we might be protected, our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, our Marines, our law enforcement officers. Lord, we pray for those who put themselves in harm's way so that our businesses might go forward, for those who travel over the road in trucks or on the river in barges. Lord, we pray that You would bless those who give of themselves so sacrificially. We pray for parents. We pray for teachers. We pray, O Lord, for those who devote their lives to the service of others. And Lord, in all of these people, it's so easy to become worn down by the daily cares of life. And sometimes it's easy to lose sight of You. We pray for those who are discouraged. We pray for those, oh Lord, who wonder whether You love them or not. And Lord, we know that because of Jesus and His sacrifice, we can be sure of Your love. But we pray that You would make Your love so clear to so many who need You. And Lord, we ask that You would use us as agents of Your grace, that we might not just model for the unbelieving world what it means to live the life of Christ, but that we might demonstrate Your love to them in concrete ways, that we might show and share the love of Jesus with with our lips and with our lives. Help us, Lord. And as we open your word, help us to understand what you have to say to us, and let our lives be changed and made more like Jesus. For we offer this prayer in his name and for his sake. Lord is good and merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God has blessed us so richly. Let us give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you so much for all of the blessings you have poured out upon us. We pray that you would take these gifts as tokens of our love and expressions of our thanks. And Lord, that you would use these gifts however you will. Indeed, that you would use us to expand your kingdom and to spread your gospel. And Lord, we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Today we continue our study of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We'll look at the verses, chapter 4, verse 16, through chapter 5 and verse 10. A wonderfully comforting passage for all of us in whatever difficulties we may find ourselves. This is the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this body, do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that is God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. Time marches on. In spite of our best efforts, today we Americans conduct our century-old semi-annual ritual of clock setting, thinking we are doing some real good by depriving ourselves of an hour of sleep. A wise old Native American is said to have made this comment about what we call daylight saving time. Quote, "Only a white man would believe that you could cut a foot off the top of a blanket and sew it to the bottom of a blanket and have a longer blanket." And in fact, science shows that even such minor alterations in sleep patterns can result in everything from lost productivity to an increase in the number of heart attacks. Time marches on, but we don't just fiddle with clocks to try to change the march of time, do we? Ladies buy cosmetics to cover up wrinkles. Guys get hair plug treatments to get a little thicker on top. We all hit the gym in quest of flatter stomachs, and we lace up our running shoes to get our hearts in shape. And yet, the days and the years tick by, marked by class reunions and anniversaries and birthday parties. And when we look in the mirror, many of us cannot deny that, as Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 16, our outer man is decaying. So how do we respond to this unmistakable reality? Well, if we do what the culture encourages, if we continue to think that youth and strength and physical vitality are all that really matters, we'll be increasingly discouraged as the days go by. Indeed, as the aches and pains of our ailments increase, and as our friends and loved ones pass on before us, we may get to the point where we wonder why, if God loves us so much, he has left us in this world to suffer. We can be discouraged. Or we can listen to what Paul is saying in the first part of chapter 5. Instead of trying to find some mythical, mystical fountain of youth, we can face the reality that our earthly houses, our physical bodies, simply are not permanent, at least in this world. The fact is, as Paul says in chapter 5 and verse 4, our bodies are mortal. A fact obvious to everyone who attended the Whispers in the Cedars tour of Wintergreen Cemetery here in Port Gibson this weekend. All those stones in the cemetery stand in mute reminder that the bodies of the people they commemorate lie beneath them. Or, as Paul puts it in verse 1, all their earthly houses have been dissolved, have been torn down. But this fact does not lead Paul into despair, because he knows that death is not the end of our story. Far from regretting the decay and eventual loss of this earthly body, in verses 6 and 8, Paul says he's actually willing, he's looking forward to being at home with the Lord. And that is true. It's true for all Christians when our spirits are separated from our bodies, that event that we call death. The fact is that the spirits of all those who love and trust the Lord Jesus go to be with him at that very moment. And how do we know this? We know it because Jesus said it himself. You may remember when Jesus was being crucified, there was a thief dying on the cross next to Jesus, and one of the thieves professed a simple faith, very simple faith. He simply said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. That's the truth. When this life is over, all Christians will be, as Paul says, at home with the Lord in a spiritual way. But Paul has an even greater blessing in mind in this passage. For in verse 4, he talks about death as meaning that our spirits are somehow unclothed. So the presence of our disembodied spirits in heaven is not God's final plan for us. Instead, God desires that we be clothed, but not this time with a mortal body, but with an immortal one. As Paul puts it in verse 1, our spirits were meant to live in a building from God, eternal in the heavens. So when will that happen? When will all those people in Wintergreen Cemetery and in all the cemeteries in the world, when will they be reunited with their spirits? Well, that's what Paul explains in more detail from our responsive reading, which was from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. On the day when Christ returns to earth, the dead in Christ will rise from their graves. And then all of God's people will rise into heaven to accompany Jesus as he returns triumphantly to rule and to reign over all the earth. In short, all of God's people will be with Jesus forever, not floating around on some cloud, but in a transformed physical body on a transformed earth. That's the good news. But how do we know all of it is true? And how can we be so hopeful today in the face of the death and decay that we see all around us? What did Paul tell the Thessalonians in our responsive reading? He said, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe God will bring with Jesus those who have died believing in him. Brothers and sisters, it is the unshakable, undeniable fact of the resurrection of Christ that is the ground of our hope. That is the reason Paul could look forward to the day of resurrection. So, if we know we will one day live in eternal, intimate fellowship with God, if we know that our bodies are destined to be transformed and renewed, as Paul says, we should not lose heart. We should not lose heart. Regardless of the pain, regardless of the disease that plague us and our loved ones today, regardless of the number of funerals we have to attend, our bodies in their current form aren't going to last forever. So maybe preserving their condition shouldn't be our top priority. Instead, in the light of Christ's imminent return, Paul says we should be more concerned with what we're doing with our bodies. The very last verse of our passage today, chapter 5, verse 10, reminds us that when Jesus returns to earth in triumph, he's going to do what all kings do when they show up. He's going to bring justice to the world. And Paul says he will judge all of us based on what we have done in our bodies, whether good or bad. Now, hold on a minute, preacher. Hold on a minute. I thought we were Presbyterians. I thought we believed in salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I thought that by his cross, Jesus has paid the penalty for all the sins of all his people throughout all time. I thought we Christians didn't have to worry about condemnation anymore, that the judgment seat of Christ was only for those who have denied him and rejected him. Calm down, calm down. That's all true. Christ has not only suffered the death penalty for all who trust in him, Christ has also perfectly kept the law on behalf of all his people. When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, all his people will be clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne, as the hymn says. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's all true. That's all true. But none of that removes our obligation to live for Christ in this world after we've been saved. And that's not just what Paul is saying here. Jesus taught the same thing. You remember that little story he told called the parable of the talents? You can look it up sometime in Matthew 25. But you probably remember it. It's one of those stories we hear in Bible school and Sunday school. Master left three of his servants with some money to invest, right? And when he returned, he praised two of the servants who had labored diligently on his behalf, but he condemned the wicked and lazy servant who refused to try. Oh, and later in that same chapter, Matthew 25, Jesus mentions that when he comes again, he's going to divide up all the nations of the world as the sheep are separated from the goats. And on that day, Jesus said he will praise the faithful because they welcomed and fed and clothed and visited, he said, the least of these my brothers. He also said those who refuse to help their Christian brothers and sisters will have to depart from him forever. That's what Jesus said. And it's that sort of kingdom work that Paul seems to have in mind when he says in chapter 5 and verse 9 that he wants to be pleasing to the Lord, whether in this life or in the life to come. It's this sort of consistent living for Christ that is involved with his warning to the Thessalonians, which we read in our responsive reading this morning in chapter 5 of that book. And he says we should live in the light of day instead of in the darkness of sin. We should live for others instead of living for ourselves. After we've been saved, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are to live in this world with the next world in mind, knowing that Jesus could return at any moment. Now, we have to admit at this point that according to the standards of the world, none of this makes any sense at all. I mean, according to everything we can perceive with our senses, the inexorable decay of our bodies, the problems in the world around us should lead us not to hope but to discouragement. The apparent finality of death in this world should lead us not to joy, but to despair. It doesn't make sense. But that is why Paul says what he does in chapter 5 and verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. It is our faith in Christ's resurrection that gives us hope. Hope that death is not the end for us. It is not the end for our loved ones. It is our faith in Christ's return that leads us to live every day for his glory and for the good of others. And it is our certainty of eternal life that puts all the pleasures and the problems of this world into their proper perspective. It's knowing that all our afflictions in this world are but for a moment. That can give us strength not to lose heart. For in the light of the eternal weight of glory and the presence of God, how much significance can the passing troubles of this world have? But there's even more good news in this passage. The best news of all is that we don't have to muster up all this faith and all this courage on our own. No. In chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul says that God himself is preparing us in this life for our eternal transformation. And God is doing this by living within all those who trust in Him in the person of His Holy Spirit. In spite of our troubles, in spite of our difficulties, in spite of our problems, and you know, sometimes because of them, God's Spirit is even now within all His people, burning away from within us all those things that are displeasing to Him. All that sin, all that selfishness that leads to so much misery in this world. The Holy Spirit allows Christ to live within us and to demonstrate His reality to the world in love and service. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what Paul calls an earnest, a pledge, a down payment on the even more obvious presence of God that we will enjoy in the life to come. So yes, we need to be honest. Sometimes while we walk this pilgrim pathway, clouds may overspread the sky. Sometimes we groan under the burdens of life in this world, marred as it is by sin and death. But as we walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we live for the one who died for us, we can be sure we will see Jesus on that day when He comes again. And that will make it all worthwhile. Let us pray. Lord, we walk by sight all too often. We allow the discouragements of our lives to rob us of joy. We take our eyes off of the prize of knowing Jesus and value things that are just passing away. Oh Lord, help us truly to trust in You, to trust in Your perfect sacrifice, to trust in Your resurrection power. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we might walk by faith, that we might live every day for Your glory and for the good of others, because we know You are coming to make all things right, to take us unto Yourself. Hear our prayer, for we offer it in the name of our Lord Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Let's rejoice in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. As we turn in our hymnals to selection 546, selection 546, let's sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing. encouraged this week. No matter what happens, Christ is coming. He is coming. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.